Tonight is Wednesday night, December 19th. This is the women's Gemara share. We're in the midst of Masechah Sukkah. Topic is Osek B'mitzvah Pater Min HaMitzvah. Okay, Rabotai. We begin our third shiur on the topic of Osek B'mitzvah Pater Min HaMitzvah. The first time we try to identify the source of this particular halacha, that if one is engaged in a mitzvah, one is exempt from a second mitzvah. Last week we discussed three different philosophical approaches as to why Osek B'mitzvah Pater Min HaMitzvah. Tonight we're going to continue with a three-way machloket as to under what circumstances is Osek B'mitzvah going to exempt you from another mitzvah. It's going to be a machlokes between Tosfos against Rashi and the Ran, and then the third opinion will be the Ravid. And tonight we're going to primarily focus on Tosfos, and then in subsequent weeks try to understand what's the rationale, the proofs, the disagreements with the other two as well. So I'm going to present all three opinions tonight, but then focus almost exclusively on Shitata Tosafot. So if you look at page 1, shockingly it's page 1, this is Daf Chaf Hei Omud Aleph in Sukkah. Same Daf, Chaf Hei Omud Aleph. Won't you have a source sheet? Plenty of source sheets. Anybody else need a sheet? Packet. So the Mishnah, which we read a couple of times already, staring you in the face, makes a statement: Shluchei mitzvah pturim min asukah. Those agents who are traveling in order to fulfill a mitzvah are exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah on the yontiv of Sukkot. So Rashi made the statement, if you look on the right hand side of the page in the middle, I bracketed the relevant Rashi. Rashi gave examples, first of all, as to what do I mean a shliach mitzvah. Somebody is going to redeem a captive. Somebody who's going to learn. Somebody who's going to be, well, to greet his Rebbe on Yom Tov. There's a mitzvah to greet your Rebbe on Yom Tov, to go say hello to him and talk the sports, you know, because Sukkot is around World Series time, Pesach is around the spring, right, opening season, so there's plenty of things to talk about with your Rebbe. So Rashi says, Piturim in Asukah, Afilu Bisha'at Chaniyatan. We mentioned this, even as you are resting, sleeping comfortably where? Motel 6. They left the light on for you. And even you do not have to go out for dinner and look for a sukkah. You can have your feet propped up and watching ESPN, and you can eat your corned beef sandwich comfortably in your hotel room. You don't have to worry about eating in a sukkah. So now we're going to look at Tosfos, and Tosfos is going to seriously challenge Rashi. Tosfos on the left-hand side of the page, we're going to learn virtually the whole Tosfos. Shluchei mitzvah, said Rashi. First he quotes Rashi as he often does. Holchei bidvar mitzvah, kigon lilmod Torah, to learn. Lahakbil pnei rabo, to greet one's Rebbe. Vilifdot shivuyin, apaturim in asukah. Va'afilu bishat chaniyatan, even as they are resting at night. Kach piresh hakuntris. V'chein mashma b'gemara. And I must acknowledge, says Tosfos, that the Gemara does seem to support Rashi's opinion. D'ka'omar, holchei lidvar mitzvah, piturin min hasukah, bein bayom, bein balayla. The Gemara later says, I'm going to show you that Gemara, it is a braita which says, people traveling to fulfill a mitzvah are exempt from sukkah, bein bayom, ubein balayla. Umashma, and that brayta appears to indicate to me, afal pi she'ein holchin ela bayom. They're only actually traveling during the day. De'i azla biyamama ubelayla, if they are traveling day and night, afilu lidvar harashut nami petiri kidiktani bebraita. Even if they are not traveling for what reason? A mitzvah. But rather they are traveling for a dvar harashut. They're going to watch a ball game in another city. They're traveling to Cleveland to watch the Yankees play the Indians in the playoff game. So that's a dvar harashus. I might consider it a dvar mitzvah, but the Gemara considers it a dvar harashus. Nonetheless, you are exempt. So that interpretation of the Braita would seem to support Rashi. In fact, go to page number 2 for a minute, and we're going to read the Braita in its entirety, and then come back to Tosfos. Says the Braita, on the top of Chavav Amud Aleph, says the Braita, about 10 lines from the top, Tana Rabbanan, Tana Rabbanan, Tana Rabbanan, Tana Rabbanan. We have learned in a Braita. We have learned in a Braita. Holchei Derachim, people who are traveling, Piturin Min HaSukkah. Bayom. Holchei Derachim Bayom, Piturim Min HaSukkah Bayom. V'chayavin Balayla. People who are traveling during the day are exempt from mitzvah of sukkah during the day and obligated in the sukkah at night. At night. Now, why should a person traveling to a ball game be exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah? So Rashi explains. Take a look at Rashi on the right hand side, the second line where it's bold, Holchei Drachim Bayom, Pitura Min HaSukkah Bayom. Dichsiv, because the Torah writes, Basukot Teshvu, you shall dwell in your sukkah. Drash Ke'ein Yeshivat Beito. You are called upon, it's a very famous drash, you are called upon to reside in the sukkah in the exact same manner the way you are called upon to reside in your house. So I'll give you this, I'll give you 50 illustrations. When it's raining, you don't have to eat in the sukkah. Why don't you have to eat in the sukkah when it's raining? Because if you sprung a leak in your dining room in the house, you would be moving into the kitchen. You would not be sitting in the dining room in the rain. If there was a broken window in your house and it was too cold, you would move out of that. So if it's too cold, you can move out of the, you know, move out. And so on and so forth. You have to take up residence in the sukkah in the exact same manner in which you do so in your home. Kishem shekol hashana eino nimna milechet baderech bischora. Now, during the year, do you ever leave your home for your own pursuit? Do you ever leave your home for your own pursuit? Sure. We go to work. That's what Rashi says. You go to business, you go to ball games, you go to doctors, do a lot of things. So too, kach kol yemei hachag she'eino yom tov lo hitzrichu hakatuv limnoa. The pasuk did not want to deny you your opportunity to go to work, to go to a ball game, to go to doctor, to go to Six Flags with your grandchildren. You're not supposed to, you don't have to deny yourself. Hence, if you are traveling, you are exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah. If you're traveling during the day, you're obligated at night. Continues the Braita. Holchei, back the third line after the brackets. Holchei derachim balayla, piturim min asukah balayla v'chayavim bayom. People who are traveling at night are exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah at night, and are obligated to perform eat the sukkah during the day. Holchei drachim bayom ubalayla. If, however, you travel both day and night, bayom ubalayla, piturin min hasukkah bein bayom ubein balayla. You are exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah during the day and at night. Now, every case up until now is talking about nothing related to doing a mitzvah. Nothing related to doing a mitzvah. All it is, travel for your own needs. And the halacha does not state you have to cancel your business trip, your pleasure trip, if you can't have just because you can't access a sukkah. I'm not saying it's the best thing to do, but halachically, you are permitted to do so. Now the Braisa says, Holchin bidvar mitzvah, piturin bein bayom ubein balayla. If you are traveling to do a mitzvah, you are exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah during the day and at night. I'm waiting for you to ask me a question. What? If you travel day and night, even for a Dvar HaRashus, you don't have to go to the sukkah. I'm going to a ball game. That's what Tosfot said. Rashi thought. Rashi believes that the added statement that if I'm traveling for a mitzvah, that exempts me from eating in the sukkah, even if I'm only traveling during the day for the mitzvah, I don't have to eat in the sukkah at night. Or if I'm traveling for a mitzvah at night, I don't have to eat in the sukkah during the day. And therein lies the distinction between a mitzvah and a ball game. When I'm going for a ball game, I'm only exempt from sukkah as long as I am traveling. But any time I am not traveling, I am obligated to seek a sukkah. However, when I'm traveling for a mitzvah, apparently, otherwise, as you said, Pearl, perfectly, there'd be no necessity to write this line. It would be a kal v'chaimer. I can figure it out with my two simple brains, that if I'm exempt for personal travel from a sukkah, certainly I'm exempt for performing a mitzvah for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, Rashi will use that to support his opinion. Tosfos knows that, but he's going to challenge it. Tosfos knows that this is where Rashi formulated his opinion from. Plus, let's continue. One more line in the story of the Gemara. Two more lines. Three more lines. Kiha de Rav Chista v'Rabba Barafuna. Like a story which is told about Rav Chisda and Rabba, the son of Rav Huna. Yes?
Is that
part
of the Beraita?
No.
Okay.
No. It can't. Because these are Amoraic sages. This is the Gemara picking up the story. Ki heva ailu b'shabata derigla lebei reish gelusa. When they would be traveling in Babylonia during the Yom Tov of Sukkot, lebei reish gelusa, to visit the reish geluta. The reish geluta was an appointed official of the Roman government for the Jewish community in Babylonia. During first Beit HaMikdash, when they kicked us out of Eretz Yisrael and we went to Bavel, the Babylonians recognized that the Jews, in order to keep them tame, we have to make certain provisions for them, even religious accommodations. And one of the religious accommodations that they made was appointing a Rosh Hagolah. Reish Galuta is just the Aramaic of Rosh Hagolah. The head, the exilarch, the exile religious leader. He had a halacha of a Rebbe, of a Melech, excuse me. Yes, They were always appointed relatives, descendants of Malchut Beit David, of the Davidic kingdom. They made a point to somehow demonstrate legitimacy. We're not just appointing any Tom, Dick, and Harry. It's from the Davidic kingdom. So it fits into the category of that which we will read this coming Shabbat. Lo yasur shevet mi Yehuda u'michokek mi bein raglav. The a seat of authority, of rule, is in the hands of Yehuda. And if they are descendants, therefore people would respect them. The Reish Galuta also had the right to appoint judges in Bavel. And they were able to adjudicate certain cases without having received smicha. Don't forget that according to Jewish law, real Jewish law, you cannot serve as a judge for 99.9% of all cases unless you have smicha. And it's not my kind of smicha. It's the smicha which you got from someone who got smicha dating back to Moshe Rabbeinu. The real smicha, which grants you enormous power and clout. However, after the Churban Bayit Sheni, when the Jews were in Bavel, then during those 70 years, there was no smicha any longer in Bavel. And subsequently, after Churban Bayit Sheni, it got terminated completely shortly after the Bar Kokhba revolt. By the year 200, there was no more smicha. No more smicha. In fact, the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Meir went up to a mountain and stood on a very narrow path, only one person can pass at a time. He gave smicha to 5 students, and they were shooting arrows at him, the Romans were, killing him, and there was no smicha afterwards, because it was under the threat of death. If you give smicha, then both the person who granted it and the recipient were all killed. So therefore, in Babylonia, there was no smicha. So much changed as a result in terms of the transmission of Jewish law. The Reish Galusa somehow served as an opportunity to what? Continue certain aspects of the judicial system and the kingdom. And there was a halacha. The halacha stated, you should visit the Reish Galusa on Yom Tov, just as you would visit your Rebbe, just as you would visit the Melech in Yerushalayim, you would also visit him on Yom Tov. So Rav Chisda and Rabba Bar Avuna were traveling to go to visit the Reish Galusa. Heveganu Arkisa Desura. They were sleeping on, near the riverbanks of Sura. There was a river going through the city of Sura. They slept on the riverbank. And there was no sukkah there. Well, just one second. Amri, they said, Anan Shluchei Mitzvah Anan. We are traveling to do a mitzvah. Upturin. And they are pater. Now, were they traveling? Not at night, they were sleeping. So they didn't bother when they were eating the hamburger for dinner, they didn't bother looking for a sukkah. Even though they were in Sura. And there must have been thousands of people with a sukkah in Sura. Because it was one of the major capitals in Babylonia, Sura and Nadar. Rav and Shmuel, where those were the two capitals of major schools. So Tosfos acknowledged that first of all the Braita, secondly, the story just quoted support Rashi. Let's go back to the Gemara. Go back to the Tosfos. Excuse me. Back to the Tosfos. Yes. What do you mean? No, not necessarily. Just who he was. Yeah. Enormously respected.
And did he have the rabbanim give him advice, like when he adjudicated cases?
He didn't adjudicate the cases. He appointed judges. He appointed judges. In Masechet Sanhedrin, Rav Nachman and various others make recommendations that in case, if you want to handle a case and make sure that you have no liability in case you make a mistake. Because there's a whole Gemara in Sanhedrin. What happens if a judge blows the decision? He blows it. He's definitely wrong. Got the whole halacha all wrong. So in the normal circumstances, he can be held liable. You know, he's got to pay out of his own pocket. If he can't find the defendant and rectify, you have to pay the victim of your idiocy, of your stupidity. However, if you get permission from the Reish Gelusa, that was like liability insurance. You don't have to pay. I got permission from the head guy. And how that works, not for tonight. But that's why it was very important. They had enormous respect for him. Sometimes underneath the table, the Gemara tells thought they would ridicule, hey, such an Amaretz. Right? But, yes. Yeah. He was not a great Talmud Chacham. Sometimes he was a very poor administrator. But officially, they had to play ball with him. They had to give him all the trappings of giving him shishi if he was a chassid, giving him shlishi if he was a Lithuanian Jew, you know, depending on what he liked, shishi or shlishi. Now, so now let's continue the Tosfos. So let's go back into the Tosfos. Back into the Tosfos. So I'm up to where it says, Kediktani Bebraita. Do you see about 8 lines into the Tosfos? There's a star next to the word at the end of a line, Bebraita. Good. The Ode, and furthermore, says Tosfos, Uvda de Rav Chista v'Rabba Barafuna. The story which the Gemara quotes about Rav Chista and Rabba Barafuna. Diganu, who slept, Arkisa de Sura, who slept on the riverbanks of the Sura River. And they were not walking then. And they were sleeping, and they did not bother getting a sukkah. Vitema, says Tosfos, it's puzzling to me. Im yicholin likayem shnehem amai peturin. If in theory you can fulfill both mitzvot, why should you be granted an exemption from the second mitzvah because you're involved in the middle of the first mitzvah? Going to the sukkah does not interrupt at all from what? From your going to fulfilling the mitzvah of greeting the Reish Gelusa. De atu adam sheyeshlo tzitzis bebigdo utfilin berosho. Me mifter bekach mishar mitzvot? Do you mean to tell me I didn't have to daven today? Why? Because I'm wearing tzitzis. Okay? I have to daven. I have to do anything. I have to do any mitzvah. I'm doing a mitzvah. So you mean to tell me Rashi is going to say that a person who is wearing tzitzis is exempt from every mitzvah because he's being osek b'mitzvah? Tosfos says that's ludicrous. Ludicrous. Furthermore, ubeperek ein bein hamudar. There is a perek in Masechet Nidarim called ein bein hamudar. Says the Gemara, gabe in relationship to the case, hamudar hana'a. If I take a vow, a neder, I have no interest in getting any benefit from you whatsoever. I don't want to benefit from you whatsoever. I can't stand you. I don't want to violate. I don't want to have any connection with you. So I take this neder. I am taking an oath upon myself never to benefit from you. Or, I don't want you to benefit from me. I don't want you to benefit from me. Demachsir lo avedasa. If I made you prohibited, I don't want you to have any benefit from me. If you lost something, if you lost this tape recorder, I am allowed to return it to you. Why do you think I'm allowed to return it to you? Are you benefiting from the fact that I returned it? Yes. So cite to me a famous rule which says why I will not violate my neder by returning this tape recorder, this lost object, your famous rule. What?
It just doesn't make sense. You gotta take a net or two violent
So I'm asking you, why is the halacha allowing you to do so? And not you are not held in violation of the neder. The principle is called mitzvot lav lehanot nitnu. Mitzvot are not given by God to derive pleasure. Even though we personally might get a lot of hana'ah from certain mitzvot. Eating a yontif meal gives us a lot of hana'ah. But that's not the reason why God gave the mitzvah. Since hana'ah is not considered an integral part of the performance of a mitzvah, therefore when I give this to you, I'm not getting a drop of hana'ah from me, and you're not getting a drop of hana'ah from you, and I'm not getting anything hana'ah from you. Nothing. Nothing. Okay, that's step number one. That if I engage in a mitzvah, that does not enable me to do what? It's not halachically considered that I benefited from you. Step number one. What?
Simcha is yomtov. You're supposed to have
simcha. Simcha is not right. It's a, something. Okay. It's a very good question. I understand. It's a good question. Obviously, Simchas Yontif means that you should enjoy it. That's correct. But that's not the... But it's not the essence... It's not the essence of the mitzvah. That's not why God gave a mitzvah. So, if you're going to ask me a question, if I created an Is... I don't want you to have any benefit from me. And I invite you for Yom Tov. So, am I allowed to invite you for Yom Tov or not? That's a good question. Can I... Would this be included? But let's just... I just want to move on. Continues Tosfos. Af al pi de mahani le pruta de Rav Yosef. Pruta de Rav Yosef. Even though I do gain something by returning your lost item. What do I gain? It's called pruta de Rav Yosef. Pruta is the smallest coin available at that time. Rav Yosef said the following halacha. I am now carrying this to you. I'm returning your lost item. Now somebody's coming for tzedakah. Do I have to stop, take out my wallet, and give this person a dime, a pruta? Said Rav Yosef, you don't have to. Why don't you have to take out? Because I'm doing a mitzvah. But did I gain anything out of doing that mitzvah? Yeah, I saved a dime. Now who generated that benefit from me? You did. It's your tape recorder. I am returning it. I got a benefit. I don't have to pay the dime. I saved on pruta de Rav Yosef. Says the Gemara, you know why you're exempt? Says the Gemara, mishum de lo shchicha. These things, you know what the chances are that just as I am going from my house to your house, to render the, just then somebody bumps into me in the street. Those type of things don't happen very frequently. However, if Rashi is right, kol ziman she'aveda bebeito mifter lemilamesav rifta la'ani. As long as, let's assume I don't know where you live yet. I found it. I don't even know whose tape recorder this is. So what are you supposed to do with a lost item that you don't know who it belongs to? What are you supposed to do? Hold on to it until you can make an announcement in shul. Did anybody lose a tape recorder? So it's sitting in my house for 2 weeks until I got to shul. Now, am I doing a mitzvah by holding on to this tape recorder in my house? Of course I am. I'm protecting the tape recorder, making sure nothing happens to it. Now, do you mean to tell me that as for 2 weeks, somebody comes knocking on my door, I says, Rabbi, I have an aveda in my house. I have something else. You know, I don't have to give you a nickel. Even if you have a certificate, it makes no difference. I don't care if you have. I'm exempt. I know the halacha. I don't have to daven. I don't have to recite the Shema. I don't have to do anything. Because I'm being mekayim the mitzvah of Shmiras Aveda. Says Tosfos, Dosin Lechalich. It's a joke. That can't be true. That can't be true. But yet, according to Rashi, it should be. It should be true. Imkain Shrichahu. That, the over 2 weeks that somebody is going to come to your house, that's probably something's going to happen. And I'm going to be exempt from giving you to a piece of bread to a poor person because I claim the tape recorder's in my house collecting dust? Yeah.
Can you never
depend on
something that's time dependent?
No. Oh, I didn't say never. Did Rashi say the time dependent? Did Rashi enter into that factor? No, he didn't. So far, Tosis hasn't either. We will see. But it's a good point. We will see. Ella Vadai, so now here is where Tosfot formulates his opinion, which is the first opinion for tonight. Rashi is rejected. Ella Vadai, lo miftar ella bisha'a shehu osek ba. The only time I am exempt from a mitzvah is I'm doing something with the Aveda. For example, let's assume it's not a tape recorder, which is not much to do to make sure it's in good shape. But Tosfos does have cases. For example, Kigon, Talis Shel Aveda, you have a garment that was lost, and then it starts collecting dust. It's going to decrease the value. So what do? You shake it out. You wash it. You shake it out in the wind. Vishotcha litzorcha. You spread it out. You put it on your back. You put it on the line. The old-fashioned lines in our backyard. You hang it up. Let it get some nice fresh air. So while I'm hanging it up on my line in the backyard, or O behema, shinosne lalavot mizonos. I found somebody's donkey, and now I feed it. I have to feed it. That's the halacha. You have to feed the animal. So while I'm feeding it, under those circumstances, I'm granted an exemption. But if you are not osake b'mitzvah, not that you are mikayim mitzvah. That's Tosfos's point to Rashi. The exemption is not labeled mikayim mitzvah, patam and amitzvah. That if I'm in the midst of fulfilling a mitzvah, yeah, when the tape recorder's in my house, I am being mikayim a mitzvah. But I'm not being osek a mitzvah. Osek means you have to engage in some physical activity to fulfill that mitzvah to grant you an exemption for mitzvah number two. Of course, that's why Tosfos says that when these guys were going, Rav Chisda, he was dead wrong. He was dead wrong. Now, how could we... Rav Chisda, okay, he was dead wrong. And that's why he says, don't bring me any proofs, Mr. Rashi. I would disagree with him. We're going to see some type of a defense for Rav Chisda, according to Tosfos. We're going to try to see what might be a defense for Rav Chisda, even if Tosfos was right. It's not a terribly good excuse. Yes?
I just want to know, but Rashi did end the day saying the original thing that...
He didn't change his mind. So Rashi's comment, Rashi's not a code. Rashi is a commentary. So his commentary, he made the comment that the people are exempt day and night. If Rashi had written his code, he would now write, if you are osek b'mitzvah, even if you are doing nothing at the time, you are still exempt from the next mitzvah. How will Tosfos ask the? How will Rashi answer the question? Hey, I'm wearing tzitzis. Okay, I don't know. Rashi was never around, unfortunately. Tosfos, 90% of the Tosfos ask questions on Rashi. But he was already pushing daisies from the bottom up by the time he switched from being a wine merchant to a florist. And that's when he died. So under those circumstances, he didn't have a chance to respond to some of his grandchildren, Rabbeinu Tam, the Riva, Rashi had several grandchildren who were, and sons-in-law, who were Balei HaToisus. He didn't have a chance to respond. I'm sure Rashi, in 5 seconds, would be able to defend himself.
I know.
And it's frustrating. Correct. Sometimes we can figure out what the defense is. Sometimes it's a little more difficult. This is one of the more difficult things to defend Rashi. Yes.
First of all, it seems to me that there's a difference here between being passively involved and doing this, but actively involved. I think that's what Osek is saying.
Exactly. Correct. Osek means active. Yes.
But let's say he's a traveler who's traveling day and night to go to be Mekabel Kohanim,
right,
his Rebbe. And he's Osek in a mitzvah, in a sense, he's doing it. And he needs to eat, if he would need to have a sukkah to eat in during that trip, he might not be able to take the trip in the first place because there's no sukkah available in the area where he's going. Maybe
okay.
He's traveling on a ship.
Okay.
Kind of a ship.
Right.
So maybe that, in that sense, when you're Osek in the mitzvah, that you're putter from the mitzvah. It
means that you're telling you that you're not allowed to go ahead and even take the trip.
No, that you should not be refraining from taking
like it. Like a doctor.
Okay, but, right. But then the Mishnah, the Brisa already said, I don't need the halach of Osek b'mitzvah to tell me not to refrain going on a trip. Because the doctor is allowed to go, the businessman is allowed to go, so I need the Mishnah, the Brayta, to tell me, oh, you're allowed to go do a mitzvah? Don't hesitate. The Mishnah already said, the Brayta, we just read it. When you're traveling to do business, you don't have to stop, even though you know for a fact that what? There ain't no sukkah. So what's the added, that you do this for a mitzvah? Of course not. Of course you're allowed to do it for a mitzvah. What do I need that for?
Because even if you're not actually traveling at that time,
that's what Rashi's point is.
Right.
That's what compels me to say that even if I'm doing absolutely nothing right now, but since I'm in the midst of a mitzvah journey, that grants. That's exactly Rashi's point. Tosis doesn't like it.
Well, the question about but from where is he now? You know, I don't do anything else. But where is he? You're out on a journey.
But we're dealing with a principle. The principle, according to Rashi, is that you're going on a journey. What's the principle? Osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. That's the principle. It's just illustrated by the what? By the journey. That's what Rashi decided to choose as shluchei mitzvah.
But what I'm suggesting in Rashi's defense is that the point is that you're on a journey, that you started.
What difference does it make if you're on a journey, if you're sleeping in a comfortable hotel for dinner time? What difference does it make? Right now, I'm not doing a journey. Why can't I be obligated to eat?
From when you said, all right, I am now about to do mitzvah A. I'm on my way. I'm going.
Good.
Mitzvah A is done. As opposed to tzitzit. I'm now going to put in my tzitzit. Now they're off.
Okay, but I'm still doing the mitzvah.
You say it's a process.
Exactly.
You're in sewage and there are mitzvot and there are sukkos that you can't go. And you're going to be sleeping. Well, that's your mitzvah.
Well, I mean, I'm just trying to suggest it's a process. And maybe the point is, from that period of time that when you started out to try to accomplish mitzvah A, until mitzvah A is accomplished, is that
okay, I hear. I hear what you're saying. Perhaps I'm saying perhaps not saying it's it has some benefit.
It's really troubling because it's like saying that's docha sukkah. I mean, it's a thought.
I know, but the Mishnah, the Brisa where it says even travel for optional purposes, you're exempt. You can ask that question. Why? The answer is because the Chachamim set up the guideline: do in the sukkah the way you live in the house. If you live in the house, are you not going to go travel because you want to stay in the house? No. You have to travel because you want to travel.
Yes.
So too, you're allowed to travel.
And we wouldn't travel now because none of us would travel in a place that we couldn't be in a sukkah.
That's the right thing to do. I told you, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein wrote a whole article about that. Should you put yourself in a position on Chol HaMoed where you know you're not going to have access to a sukkah.
Right. So it's different if you visit, everyone visits the Rebbe.
Correct. He's talking about the Rishus. The Brisa, which says, if you're traveling for work, you're traveling for pleasure, that's okay. Doesn't say you have to do that to exempt yourself from sukkah. Should a person who understands the significance of a mitzvah put themselves in a situation where the halacha will exempt you from sukkah? His opinion was no. He spoke about all the tiulim that take place in Israel on Chol HaMoed Sukkot before everybody got their own little pop-up sukkah. That's what he was speaking about.
It seems to me that this started because there were people who maybe wouldn't have done a mitzvah like going to visit their Rebbe in Memphis, which was a big deal to do, because they would have to travel to a place where they wouldn't do it.
Perhaps.
The whole idea was that you wouldn't not do a mitzvah.
Perhaps. Yes.
The people who aren't doing it.
Okay. Okay. Good. Okay. So that's opinion number one, Shitas HaToisvus, against Rashi. Now, go to page number 5 for a second.
I'm just curious, these people who are on a journey and not eating sukkah, does anyone suggest that they're refraining from eating bread or sukkah?
No. To eat fruit, I don't need the Gemara to tell me I'm exempt from sukkah. To eat fruit and vegetables and meat and fish, I don't have to be in the sukkah in the first place. The only time you have to be in the sukkah is if you're eating grain.
Right.
So when the Gemara gives you an exemption, you can have a hamburger with the bun, even though you're not eating in the sukkah. That's what the Gemara is saying. Correct. Otherwise, I don't need the Gemara to tell me you don't have to eat the sukkah. I'm not eating anything that requires the sukkah, so why do I have to be in the
sukkah?
What?
You're supposed to semi-live in your sukkah.
Correct.
In your house, you eat everything.
That is correct. But, so that's a very good question. Why does our practice accept the Rabbeinu Tam, who says the only time you make a bracha is when you're eating in the sukkah? But if you're sleeping in the sukkah, learning in the sukkah, you don't make leishei basukkah. Only when you eat. Rambam disagrees. Rambam says the mitzvah is to dwell, not to eat. So anytime you go in, you should make a bracha. But the difference is as follows. If I sleep out of the sukkah, do I violate anything or just fail to be mekayim the mitzvah? All you do is fail to bavan mitzvah. But if you eat out of the sukkah something that you have to eat in the sukkah, not only have you failed to be mekayim the mitzvah, you violated an isur of eating out of the sukkah. That's why eating takes greater priority, and the Rabbeinu Tam thinks that's the only time you make a bracha. But let's take a look at page number 5, where this is the Korban Nesanel, who is a commentary on the Rush, who will try to say something in defense of Rashi. So the Rush wrote, and that's the bold, Niriayin, She'im yeshlo lachzor achasukoso litzorech halayla, if somebody would be obligated to do what? Seek a sukkah for his nighttime meal, yivatel mitzvato bayom. Somehow he's not going to be able to do what? To do the mitzvah effectively during the day.
That's a weird word.
Yivatel mitzvato bayom. He's talking about somebody who is in Rashi's situation. He's in Motel 6. If the halacha was that he has to go lachzor achasukaso to make an effort to find a sukkah litzorech halayla for his nighttime, either to sleep in the sukkah or to eat in the sukkah, yivatel mitzvato bayom. What might happen? What might happen?
No,
this is at night. He's not going to effectively be able to travel as well during the day. So he gives an example. Kigon shahasukah mufleget min haderech asher hu holech shama l'dvar mitzvah. The sukkah, he knows where it is, but he's going to have to go an hour's distance travel to get to the sukkah. O be'ofan she'im yolin chutz l'sukkah, if he were to sleep out of the sukkah, the yashen, he will be able to get a good night's sleep, as opposed to sleeping in the sukkah, where you can't generally get a good night's sleep. Yanuach yoter, he'll be better rested. The yuchal la'asok limachar tfei b'mitzvato, he'll be able to travel a lot more eagerly, with a crisper rate. Hakol chashiv hakol osek b'mitzvah upataraf balayla. Why did Rashi grant you the exemption? Because he knew that if you're going to have to go into a sukkah and sleep in the sukkah at night, you're not going to be able to walk 10 miles during the day. You're going to drop dead after a half hour.
It sounds like you could use this against almost doing any mitzvah.
What?
That's the kind of argument you could use against doing almost any mitzvah. No,
he's telling you to do the mitzvah.
No, he's saying that it's taking you away from the mitzvah.
At night, yes, when you're traveling. That's correct. It's trying to say something to explain why Rashi said that you're sitting there in the hotel, feet propped up, watching ESPN, right? NFL highlights, and you didn't go bother getting a sukkah. Yes?
What's with this word yivatel? Yivatel, normally, like mitzvah?
Means, yeah, you will not be able to do your mitzvah effectively. The mitzvah, that's what, in this case, that's what it means. No, I know. But it means that your mitzvah is going to be impeded. It'll be delayed, perhaps even permanently. Because when you see that you're struggling to walk during the day, what are you not going to do? You're not going to go. You're going to say, this is much too much of a burden for me. But if you get a good night's rest, so under those circumstances, you know you can travel effectively and cover 10 miles a day. If I'm going across country, it'll take me 3,000 years to get across country. Fine. Correct. That is how the Korban Nisanel tries to defend Rashi. It's quoted, this Korban Nisanel is commenting on the Rush, but the Rush was quoting Rashi, and he disagreed with him. Rush agrees with Tosfos, bottom line.
So what are the parameters? In other words, what mitzvahs are you exempt from if you're doing another?
Any mitzvah. Every single mitzvah. That's what it says.
That it doesn't carry with it an
Isur. Correct. Every mitzvah. In theory, does this person have to recite the Shema? No, he doesn't. Does he have to daven? No, he doesn't. Does he have to give tzedakah? That's an Isur. That's correct. He can't eat non-kosher food. No, he can eat bread because he doesn't have to go into the sukkah. He's exempt. The only time you're not allowed to eat bread is if when... when you have to eat in the sukkah. But if the halacha has exempt you, then go ahead and eat bread. People ask me that when they fly on Chol HaMoed Sukkos. Am I allowed to eat bread on the plane? Of course you're allowed to eat bread on the plane. Why? Because El Al is not making a sukkah on the plane. Even El Al is not doing that. Of course United not. But even El Al is not going to have a sukkah on the plane. And even that, the Chassidim can't do. They can bring a Sefer Torah on the plane, but you can't bring a sukkah on the plane. Yes?
I know you've spoken about somebody who's an Onan and not davening because they're angry. Would this...
That's Tosis's explanation. Rashi says an Onan doesn't daven because Osek b'mitzvah patam in a mitzvah. That's Rashi's interpretation. Yes. So machloikas, what the reason for Aninu's exemption is. And the difference, of course, in Rashi and Tosfos is Shabbos and Yontif. You can't do any preparations for burial on a Shabbos and Yontif. Therefore, what should happen to the laws of Aninus? They should be suspended. That's what Rashi says. Tosfos says an Onan doesn't do mitzvahs on Shabbos either. Doesn't come to shul, doesn't daven, because it's nothing to do with Osek B'mitzvah. Tosfos believes it's a psychological exemption because I'm angry with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We split our decision. For Shabbos and Yom Tov purposes, we follow Rashi. But in our cases today, we follow Tosfos. What activity does the mourner himself have to do to prepare the funeral? Zero. Pick up the phone and call the rabbi. That's all you got to do. Do you dig the grave? No. Do you make the shroud? No. Do you prepare the house for Shiva? No. The Avelus Committee does that. So what in the world is there an exemption in our day and age for an onan not to do mitzvot? The answer is, because it's psychological. So we accept Rashi, we accept Tosfos during the week for us, and we accept Rashi on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Yeah. Okay, that's something, correct. But if you're not going to speak, or you wrote your hesped already, then what happens? Why should you be exempt from a mitzvah, perhaps for 2 days? Somebody dies on a Friday, right? And then the burial is not till Sunday. For a whole Friday and half a Sunday you're exempt? You know, Saturday night? Yeah.
Why would you say, though, the idea of not saying Shema? How could you possibly say saying 5 minutes of Shema is going to ruin your day for the next day?
Okay, that's correct. According to that svara, you would be obligated. If that's the svara, now I know because Rashi didn't say that. Rashi believes it's a clear-cut exemption. You're osek b'mitzvah A, you're putter from every other mitzvah B. Tosfos, of course, says you have to recite the Shema. Of course, you have to recite it because that's not a conflict with what with doing any other mitzvah. Even though you are doing a mitzvah, but it's not, you're not, by sitting in your hotel, you're not being osek. So you have to say Kriya Shema. That's all.
Didn't we also learn, like when we were in
Brachot,
that like certain things you say when you're riding on the horse or when you're,
yes,
while you're traveling, certain parts of the davening you can do and certain parts you can't.
Right? Right? Yes?
So those things you're doing, even though you're traveling for a mitzvah, you could still do.
That, in theory, according to Tosfos, no doubt. This is opinion number one. Now, there's much to be said about Tosfos, and we will see. I just want to expose you to opinions number two and opinions number three. Opinion number two is the Ran. Open up to page number three. Now, Tosfos, I just want to crystallize what Tosfos says to show you the difference between him and the Ran. Let's assume I am in the midst of mitzvah number one, but I can do mitzvah number two, even if I'm osek. I can do mitzvah number two, even though I am osek b'mitzvah. So we're forgetting about Rashi, where you're just sleeping. You're actually doing a mitzvah. But the two mitzvot are not mutually exclusive. So Tosfos is of the opinion. What do you think Tosfos would say?
Give an example.
Yeah, sure. But I am traveling. I'm actually traveling. And I can say Shema. Did Tosfos ever say, am I being osek while I am traveling?
Yes.
What was Tosfos' rule? As long as you are osek,
actively
involved, you're exempt from every other mitzvah. Tosfos did not put a stipulation only where it's impossible to do both. That's where the Ran is going to disagree with Tosfos. Let's read it inside. Ve'ikol le'medak. We should analyze. Im yicholim l'kayem et shtehem amai peturin. If the possibility exists of performing both of them, why should you be exempt from the second mitzvah? And the Ran doesn't just ask that question. He eventually will come to the conclusion, that's exactly what I believe. So here is the test case between Tosfos and the Ran, one that I just gave you. I am traveling. I'm traveling. I am being osek b'mitzvah. Do I have to read the Shema or not? Forget about looking for a sukkah. As I am traveling, do I have to recite the Shema? Now, when you travel, the Torah tells you to recite the Shema. Uvelechtecha v'aderech. That's exactly what the Torah says. Even as you are traveling, you should go ahead and what? Recite the Shema.
You're not always traveling for mitzvahs.
Correct. Says the Ran, it's only if you can't recite the Shema while you're doing the other mitzvah. You have to worry about what? The road, the robbers. Then the Ran would say, of course you can't do both. But if you're sitting, you're traveling on a coach train, you're traveling on a plane, where you can ease, and you're going to do a mitzvah, you're traveling, you're going to do a mitzvah. There's no conflict between reciting the Shema on a plane or a train. You can have kavana. What's the problem? So Tosfos will grant you an exemption because I am being osek the mitzvah. The Ran says, absolutely not. Only if e efshar l'kayim shneim. If I can't do both. And what is the real chiddush according to the Ran? Don't, as we said last week with one of our rationale, don't say, you know what? I'd rather do that mitzvah. I think that mitzvah is a little more important. I'm not going to go ahead and, you know, what do I care about riding on a horse to do a mitzvah? I'm not going to go do the mitzvah. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to recite the Shema. I'm going to daven. I'm going to abandon the whole trip. I like those other mitzvahs. Says the Ran, once you start a mitzvah, you are exempt. And as we pointed out in the name of the Ritva, which I have here again this tonight, the source itself, you should stay with that first mitzvah and not bother making an attempt to do another mitzvah. But if it's efshar l'kayim shneihem, then you are chayav to do both mitzvot.
We're giving you tzedakah.
Yes, exactly. You can do both. I can hold the tape recorder and give tzedakah at the same time. I can hold the tape recorder and go into the sukkah. I can hold the tape recorder and put on my towels. I can think of every mitzvah while I'm holding the tape recorder that I found. Makes no difference. So Ran is position number two. Osek b'mitzvah patam in a mitzvah is only EF Sharlakayim Shneim. So now tell me, do you think the Ran will grant you the opportunity when you're in Motel 6 to be exempt from the sukkah? Of course not. You're in Motel 6, you're not doing anything. Go eat in the sukkah, what's the problem? Tomorrow you're going to continue your trip? I can understand during the day, you know, you want to get to your destination, fulfill the mitzvah, I can understand that. You're being Mekayim mitzvah, exempt. But if you're sitting around, you can do both, what's the problem? What's the problem? That's opinion number two, in the name of the Ran. Then, now, and a similar position, a little sharper, not just exempt, go to page 7 for just a minute. This is the Ritva, which I mentioned last week, but now you're going to see it. Otiyot Machkimot, the letters make you sharp, make you smarter, so you can see it inside, says the Ritva. The Kevon Delo Miftar Ella be'odo osek b'mitzvah zu. Since, according to my friends, the Ran and Tosfos against Rashi, that you're only exempt when you're osek b'mitzvah, lama likra. Why do I need a pasuk to tell me don't do the other mitzvah? Pshita, sepushet. Of course, it's obvious. Lama yaniach mitzvah zu, hitnei mitzvah acheres. Why should I leave one mitzvah to perform another mitzvah? Logic would there be running through my mind? V'yesh lomar, the hakamashmalon. Da'afilu ba'i l'haniach mitzvah zu, even if you want to leave mitzvah A, la'asot mitzvah acheret gidola heimena, that if you want to perform a greater mitzvah, ein harashut biyado, you have no right to leave mitzvah A to do
mitzvah.
Besides, the Ritva is saying, even if I know which mitzvah is more important, even if I know, salkedaita chamina, I could have thought, if turehu de miftamina, I don't have to perform mitzvah number two. Avol iba'i lemishvek ha, but if I want to leave mitzvah number one, ulemeebat idach, and I want to do mitzvah number two because I know it's more significant, harashut biyado. That's what I would have thought. Kamash malan, therefore the halacha tells us, the kevan the patur min ha'acheres, harehi etzlo achshav, kidvar shel rashus. The second mitzvah forfeits its status as a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah. It's an optional activity. The asur lahaniach mitzvato mipnei davar shehu shel rashut, and it is prohibited to leave your mitzvah in order to perform what? A rashut, something which is now no longer characterized as a mitzvah. So that's the real chidush. That's what the Ritva adds to a but, ein and a but, Tosfos and the Ran, especially the Ran. Especially the Ran.
Why did he say a greater mitzvah when we feel like there isn't?
He's saying, even if you were to know.
Yeah, but he's saying as though there is.
Yeah, because you could assume that kibud avaim, because the Torah stipulates the reward of, that's more important than this one. I could have said that. Even though the Mishnah always tells us, we don't know. But the Ravra says, I'm playing along. I know. God, a little angel whispered to me that this mitzvah of coming to the shir Wednesday night is more important than anything else. Any other mitzvah. Okay, the little bird whispered it. Yeah. All right. We'll stop here. And we'll continue with the Ravid. And then attacks against each one of them. Gemara here, Gemara there. Oh, hold on a second. Next week I have a wedding next Wednesday night, the Foreman wedding, and I can't have something else Tuesday night, otherwise I would switch to Tuesday night. So it's in 2 weeks from tonight. Unfortunately, you can't miss tonight. Yeah, no problem. What? Of course you would have come to the shir. No doubt. Because it's not, unless it's Isaac for mitzvah. Yes. That's a general thing for doing all mitzvot, all of them. Right.
You'll be there in the afternoon.
Yes. The wedding's at 6:30.